The Land of Magics. Before. Merlin sat back in the rowing boat as the oars splashed and dipped, splashed and dipped. Beside him on the seat, his pen scribbled busily in his diary. High above in the cloudless sky, a flock of plump pink pigs flapped past on gossamer wings. A winged fish leapt out of the sea sky, close enough to touch its shimmering scales, and performed a loop-the-loop, scattering drops of sea sky over Merlin's face before diving back down into the water. He leant over the side of the boat to watch the fish streak to join its flock, darting like a hummingbird through the translucent blue. Far below, at the very bottom of the sea sky, water clouds drifted. What would it be like to be that fish, to live in the sea sky, free to leap and play? More fun than being a boy on his way to Library Island for yet another boring lesson with a pile of fuddy-duddy books. Merlin turned to stare behind him once again, far across the sea sky, to where the dark shadow of an island crouched at the edge of the horizon, almost buried in heavy cloud. It seemed to tug at his eyes like a magnet. Had it always been there? And if it had, how come he'd only noticed it a few weeks ago? To me, he ordered his diary and pen, and they floated into his hands. He shoved them into the pocket of his cloak and focused his attention on the oars again. Row on, he told them. Row to Library Island. And the oars obeyed him. Merlin lay back, his face to the sun. The boat slid past his friend Vincent's place, the wake from the oars sending tiny wavelets slapping against the wooden stilts which anchored the little house in the sea sky. There was no sign of Vincent's rowing boat. He must have already set off for Library Island. Merlin smirked. Vincent's magic couldn't make the oars row for him. He would have had to row himself across the sea sky, which meant sweat and sore arms. None of the others had the magic of command, and the more he practiced it, the more powerful he felt inside. Ahead, Library Island shimmered like a mirage. The library, ivy-covered and turreted, towered above the beach, where tiny waves lapped upon the strip of pale sand. The rowing boat ground gently on the beach, and Merlin jumped out. His cloak, stitched with hundreds of tiny mirrors, tinkled and flashed in the sun's light. Under his bare feet, the sand was warm. Vincent's boat was already there. Fasten, Merlin ordered the loop of rope lying in the bottom of the boat, and the rope rose like a snake and wriggled over the sand towards a tree, winding itself around a branch where Vincent's rope was already tied. Merlin turned and gazed one last time at the dark island, then set off up the beach towards the library. A small round mirror hung from a nail on the library door, facing out to the sea sky like a watching eye. As Merlin approached, he noticed that the distant, dark island was reflected in the mirror. He walked up to it until his own face stared back at him. A boy with slanting green eyes like a cat's and black hair tied into a pigtail. Carved into the mirror's wooden frame were the words, "Who are you?" "Merlin," he said, and waited for the door to open. Nothing happened. "Open," he ordered it. It didn't. Merlin frowned and pushed at the door, but it stayed firmly shut. Suddenly, his reflection seemed to swim and swirl and break into pieces as if someone had tossed a pebble into a pond. When it settled again, his reflection had changed. His head had swollen to twice its normal size, his mouth curled into a smug smirk, and his green eyes flashed with self-importance. A voice spoke from the mirror. "Be careful, Merlin."